traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I thought we were sitting down to discuss his issues from the past.
Oh, dude, that's like a 3-hour set. We're doing a 3-hour set right now? I'm just kidding.
What issues?
That way.
What issues?
Well, Logan.
Well, let's just, I mean, like,
let's dive into it.
Are you sober right now?
George, you do realize that as a member of the show that you have the ability to say, I'm going to.
You can say anything you want.
Yeah, I'm going to cut that. Like, you can. Like, let's just have a conversation. What you don't like, we pull out.
We just started the episode.
Oh, are we rolling?
Yes, we're rolling. Yeah.
Oh, you know that.
Yeah. Hey. Welcome back to Impulse, the number one podcast in the world. Still not in our studio because it's currently being shipped to Puerto Rico, where we're building a new set. Yeah, we're gonna replace the panel on the window with a real window. this is Howie Mandel's studio. Howie, we love you. Thank you for letting us use your studio. This, you know, I feel like it's haunted. If we could zoom into some of the stuff,
it's. I don't know how to say because we're using a studio, but like I definitely would, if I got teleported here by myself, I definitely would have a lot of questions. I would want to know what is that thing right there? Is that like a...
Oh, this is how we should have opened the show. You know those chickens?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
If you get annoyed easily, skip the next 30 seconds of this podcast. Pretty great stuff.
I love it.
Let's go. Okay, so look, we haven't done a boys only podcast in a while. We have George back. Mike and I have been traveling all over Europe. I've been traveling all over everywhere else, and kind of just want to just have a good old impulsive chat with the boys like we used to back in the day.
So I actually don't know anything that happened on your guys' trip, so I'm just as curious as you guys, so yeah. I'll be throwing out a lot of questions as well.
I thought we were sitting down to discuss his issues from the past.
Oh, dude, that's like a 3-hour set. We're doing a 3-hour set right now? I'm just kidding.
What issues?
That way.
What issues?
Well, Logan.
Well, let's just, I mean, like,
let's dive into it.
Are you sober right now?
No.
So that's an issue, man. We haven't seen sober Logan since he was training for Mayweather.
That guy sucks.
Well, let's take this seriously.
Get him out of here.
Let's take this seriously for a second. All right, what is the like core reason? What benefits are you seeing out of this, you know, party lifestyle that Tommy Innitt pretty infamously called you out on? I thought having a 17-year-old call you out would be the thing that made you change, but clearly it wasn't. Like, what's the benefit? What are you getting out of this right now? What's it doing for you? How's it getting your willies off?
Yeah, my rock's rolling.
Yeah.
You know, that moment with Tommy was powerful when I had a 17-year-old look me in the face and tell me I needed to stop doing hard crack. I considered it for 1 second, and then I realized I love hard crack, and I'll never stop.
But what is it though? Like, because obviously this is a bit of a sensitive topic for me, and I want the audience to know that obviously we're.
Oh, why? Because you used to be a drug addict, Mike. Yeah, we all fucking know, bro. We all know.
Didn't you write a book about it or something? No, yeah. Wait, hold on. I'm on your
you
side.
Guys,
my bad.
Guys,
my bad. My
guys,
bad. My bad. I'm so sorry.
Done?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You guys done?
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. We are coming to you as friends.
Well, hold on. No,
what's going on? What approach are we taking here?
They're coming to me as enemies.
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck you, man. Hold them. I'll hit them. No, but like, well, I'm coming to you out of a point of curiosity.
Sure.
Like, what is it? Because clearly, all right. Let's nail this down right off the bat. There's no issue. Like, we're making light of it because there's no issue.
I mean,
like,
there is a slight issue.
Oh, Jeff's doing the one.
I've been.
No, there's slightly an issue.
From my trusted advisors, I've been getting there's potentially an issue. Brewing.
I've been hearing.
It's making its way around.
Well, not only as a result of what he's doing, but also as a result of what those substances are doing to his mindset. And so clearly, I've noticed as well a return to a some certain aspects of the Logan Paul character that I thought we had boxed up and coffined, and we could talk about that stuff. But like, first and foremost, like, what is it that's driving you to do you want to talk about this creativity a little bit,
sure,
like that angle?
So, okay. So, and I also just want to clarify, when we're talking about substances, you talk about three with me only. I was joking about hard crack. I don't even know if that's a thing. I don't do crack.
It's a thing.
I've never done cocaine. Never will do anything up my nose.
Is crack? Oh, crack cocaine.
See, I don't even know. Crack, there's drugs.
It's a purified form of cocaine, boys. It takes all the adulterants out, makes the smoking experience a little bit more effective for the end user.
Okay, this is not smoking for dummies.
Also, by the way, that drug, I'll just say right now, is the drug that's like accidentally killing everyone, because fentanyl is...
No, that's heroin.
Nope, he's right.
No.
Actually,
in
Arizona right now, 11 people died in their joints. They're putting that stuff in there.
Brother. I'm not talking about outliers. So people might die of fentanyl-laced weed and potentially fentanyl-laced cocaine, but fentanyl-laced heroin is the problem. It does pop up in other drugs, but the majority of it are people mistaking heroin for heroin.
Regardless, it's bad.
I just want to make sure we clarify the topic.
Here's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Smoking, I'm drinking, and caffeine. And, you know, right now, why I'm not sober right now, I took a painkiller because my hand was really hurting me. This is the first one I took, and like, I know it was, I got drowsy and kind of like not super present. So now I got this Red Bull, and if you just mix your downers with your uppers, you can then do a podcast.
I feel like we're...
No, stop. Jeff did the cut that thing. But let me say this really quickly. That in the world outside of illicit substances is not that unheard of. There's a lot of people who...
My fucking hand hurts. No, and I have to
I'm
a job
not talking
to
about
do.
That, but what I'm saying, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, drink... Red Bull vodka is a popular drink for a reason. They get a great effect off the alcohol, and they get a pop back up from the Red Bull. And there's levels to it.
I love
you know?
That drink.
But why? Poor K, Logan Paul.
I'm glad you asked, Mike, because I'd like to consider myself a semi-reasonable person, in some regards. And, I'll just say it. About 30-plus days ago, we sat on this podcast in Vegas, and I mentioned I had this idea. And I said it's one of the greatest, most, in my opinion, brilliant things I've ever conceptualized. And it's kind of taken over me. It is completely consumed me. In a way where I've just never felt this creatively limitless with what I can do, and having fun in a way where I'm not so in my head, i.e., you know, smoking, kind of relaxing, going out with my friends, drinking, just kind of being like a loose, like I'm living, and for the first time ever, my inspiration is coming from just being, which is unusual for me. Like, as a creative, and as most of the creatives in this room know, there's usually some sort of like brainstorming process where you sit down and come up with the thing that you're going to do next. Bro, I'm in a space in my life and in my head where I can just close my eyes and like ideas come to me, and I've never ever felt like that. And so I'm kind of leaning into this like free spirited.
It's called a flow state. You're in a a long lasting substance inspired flow state. Okay, so here's the issue. You are not the first artist. Not the first artist in Los Angeles. You're not the first artist in the history of the past 100 years or so to be inspired through substance use. The question just becomes, where's the line drawn? Now, when you're focusing simply on there's no safe drug, alcohol and marijuana maybe, but alcohol is no safer than a lot of other drugs. You can run into a lot of the same kind of issues that you can with any other substance, right? But like, you look, I my brain automatically goes back to Hendrix. It goes back to Morrison. It goes back to, you know, Syd Barrett from Pink Floyd in his early days. It goes back to Joplin and all of these people who relied heavily on substances to free themselves and create the craft and the art that they were known for creating. And all of those stories ended very fucking tragically. And I'm by no means saying that you're even close to being on the level of any of those people. They were shooting heroin and doing crazy things with their bodies.
I take a couple shots.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today.
Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's every night. Every night.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is my point of view on it. Your personality is this. Everything you do, you go 100%.
Extremist.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, which is great. And that's why you have this empire that you've built, which is great. And I hope that you keep continuing to do that.
But. I'm a piece of shit.
Not only that. I'm noticing that you could get grumpy when you're not intoxicated. And so what I'm saying is, like, you're already having small withdrawals throughout the day.
Yeah, I know.
And that's kind of worrying me because, like, I know you're an addictive personality. So what happens when you're done with this project? Are you going to lose yourself to this shit that you're doing for this one project?
No, that's the other thing about me. I'm a lunatic, and, like, I can cut stuff cold turkey.
So when do me and him step in and say, okay, you're done?
November 29th.
And then we have the right to be like, okay, you're done with this shit.
Yeah.
November 29th.
November 30th.
Okay, fine. I'll give you fucking to the end of the year. I don't even give a fuck. Needs to be a day where I have to step in and be like, okay, enough of this shit, bro.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I respect what you both are doing right now, but you're not going to need to step in.
I do feel like he would. I think he is the type of dude that would be able to stop it. I just wanted to make it
100 or zero.
I also want to level set one more time back to what you said in the beginning in the introduction to this conversation. Like, I've been with him for the majority of this creative overload, and with the exception of one bone-shattering event, the rest of it happened very much within reason. He's not fucking super intoxicated. He's not shaking in the morning. He's not ripping shots at noon for the most part. What I'm trying to say is this, as a modern and someone who considers himself, you know, the warning signs are there. And so that's why I'm happy we're having the conversation. If he's telling us November 29th, let's fucking hold him to
30th.
It. November 30th.
Yep.
But if you start to slide there, killer, it's going to be sooner.
But you're telling me I need to be sober November 30th? Like, what's the thing? Or is it like slow down?
No, it's just slow down.
Can I still have fun on the weekends?
Of course, bro. It just has moderation. How much fun? Bro, like, you have no moderation right now. It's just either high or low. Like, and it's just like a lot of it right now, which I get. I know you're leaning in for the creative part of it.
It's so fun, bro.
No shit. I'm having so much fun.
But, dude.
By the way, this conversation is going to affect a lot of people in the audience who are looking back at themselves while listening to this and saying, like, yo, am I overdoing it? You know what I'm saying? And, like, normally he has restraints on his partying that are, yo, I have a fight coming up. Yo, I have vlogs due. Yo, I have business that I have to attend to. He currently is just lost once again in the fog that is that project. And I think, to his point, once that project stops, you know, he's going to get back into shape for whatever he's going to do next.
I love the analogy, but it's not fog. It's the most, like, clear-sighted vision and beautiful, like, mountainous landscape. And I'm just trying to sprint up it while drunk. Anyways.
Last thing. I've always been the kind of person that says whatever works for you, different strokes for different folks. And so, listen, if it's working for you, and I think at the end of the day, it always comes down to the pitfalls versus the benefits. If you're seeing the benefits outweigh the pitfalls, and the only pitfall is one bone shattering event that we should talk about, yeah or no?
So one day, I'll tell the story. Today's not that day.
Got it.
I'm just not there yet.
Did you talk about the pictures that are on your cast?
Yeah, so everyone wants to sign casts, you know, but I think that's lame. So my demand is that you draw a picture.
Sick.
And so I got some cool pictures on here. You know, a lot of people wishing me a speedy recovery. Look, we're all adults here, and some of us choose to use nicotine to relax, focus, or just unwind after a long day. Lucy Nicotine is a company that was created to help nicotine users find a cleaner option and feel better about the ways they consume nicotine. Their latest product is Slim Nicotine Pouches, which contain pure synthetic nicotine and provide the same satisfaction that nicotine users expect without any tobacco at all. Lucy Slim Pouches use the newest technology for synthesizing pure nicotine in the lab. None of the tobacco, all of the nicotine satisfaction in Lucy Slim Pouches include both coconut oil and gum to provide a soft, fluffy texture that enhances the flavor and doesn't dry out your mouth. They come in three strengths, 4, 8, and 12 milligrams, and three exclusive and delicious flavors, spearmint, mango, and cool cider. It's 2021. Don't compromise when you're choosing your nicotine products. So go with the newest tobacco-free options from Lucy. Impulsive listeners, go to lucy.co and use the promo code Logan to get 20% off your order of Lucy Slim Pouches or any other Lucy products. That's lucy.co and use the promo code Logan at checkout. Also, I do have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains non-tobacco nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Back to the...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Program. Things happen when you're in Germany. Things happen when we were there. Should we do a little a debrief about...
What is your favorite moment when you guys are on the trip? That you guys didn't invite me to, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. I'm just kidding. They did. Just kidding.
Yeah. By the way, on that note, like, this travel is grueling. You know what I'm saying?
It's work, Michael.
It's work in itself, and it does a number on you. And if you're someone who has to create content, someone that's working on stand-up, which, by the way, I'd love to hear what you've been doing for the past couple weeks as well, it could do a fucking number on you. And
the only reason I didn't go is because I deadass was sick, and I was like, if I take this trip, I'm not recovering. Like, there's no way.
Literally.
It fucks you up, dude.
It does.
Fuck me up.
Especially at the rate that we're not going on these trips and ending up in countries for five, 6 days at a time. We're in Berlin for 24 hours, yeah. 12 hours at a time. And then it's on to the next spot. So I don't know. What do you want? My favorite thing was definitely in Iceland. There is some moment in Iceland, most beautiful country I've ever seen in my life. I know I said this on the last podcast, but I've just never seen anything like that before.
I wish you were there, Georgie, because I felt like God was with us on that trip, or like the creator, you know, the universe, like
yeah. When you see something so beautiful that you know somebody had to create it.
Well, it was like what we were chasing that day, everything that we wanted, like weird, like universal, like the weather would open up right when we need. It rains all the time there. The sun would peek through the clouds at the perfect moment, and it was just the most amazing, like dreamscape of an environment. Personally, of all the things we did, I know, it happened in Hamburg, but like, dude, Germany's wild.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the red light district?
Wait, can I ask you a question about Germany? Sure. I don't know if this is a fairy tale or whatever, but is it true that there's no speed limits? You could just do whatever you want?
Certain areas of the Autobahn.
That's on the Autobahn, yeah.
So when you get outside of, like would it be, David, like city limits? Like you get 20, 30 miles outside of the city to the more opened up areas, the speed limit dissipates or disappears completely. Right. So the signs are denoted by these gray stripes. And from what I've always heard and understood about the Autobahn is there's actually far less accidents there than other places on the planet, which is crazy. But I can imagine also that when an accident does occur,
they don't go.
That's what he was saying.
Anyway.
David said the Europeans monitor their RPM and their speeds because of the cost of gas out there, which I'm just learning right now. First of all, in the UK, you can't get gas. There's a gas shortage in the UK, so you actually can't even get gas right now there. And some people have been telling me that in places like Sweden and those Norwegian areas that gas can be as much as $25, $30 a gallon, Jeez. Which is mind-blowing. So they're very cautious about how they speed. But red light district.
Yeah, it's a
what is that?
It's a place in Germany where I can't believe this is a real thing. I walked in, I was like, this is welcome to Germany, bro. It's a street where there are no women allowed, and so no women allowed, and you have to be over 18 if you are a man, and you basically browse on this street like an outdoor shopping mall, and in the window are women that you can purchase sexual favors from. I'm talking prostitution commercialized.
Very commercialized and very semi-legalized.
So they're just standing like mannequins?
Not standing. Cat calling you, big boy. Hey, daddy. Looking good tonight. Except in a German accent.
And more creative than that. They're not.
They're good. They're good. They hook you, dude. They hook Mike.
Could you paint more of a picture for me? Like,
yeah. So just to back up a couple steps. The red light district.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Prostitution is legal completely.
Yes, but those areas aren't always governed by the police. And so from what I understood from But from what I was told by Jesus and his crew, and we should get into who Jesus is and that in a second, was that the police offload the responsibilities in those areas because they don't want to be there. They don't want to be policing those zones on foot because of what happens there. So,
is it the hood?
It's not the hood. Back up 1 second. Red light districts exist in many other places besides just Germany. The most infamous one is in Amsterdam, right? And in the Netherlands and throughout different areas. We went to a very famous one in Hamburg called that's just off something called the Reeperbahn, which
one
is
one more time
the Reeperbahn.
Reeperbahn.
It's a very
I know. Very touchy word. But they go back and forth with it, so I don't know where they net out, if it's I's, A's, or E's, but it's spelled with two E's, Reeperbahn. And this area is kind of like the free-for-all party central. It's almost like a New Orleans of sorts. There's bars, clubs, parties, all that shit. But what he was talking about is at some point you get to this wall that's blocked off, and it says, in German, beyond this point, men only, 18 plus.
So how did the women get there?
We did that.
No, he means the girls working. Oh, no, that's what
I'm
saying. Oh,
so
they have
like, okay, I'm
George. George, those girls are allowed there.
Okay,
the men, from a shopping perspective, it's men only, right? We happen to
be with a woman, and we couldn't just leave her behind.
So, did you guys dress this woman as a man?
That's right, we did.
Shut the fuck up,
yeah,
Olivia.
What happens if you get caught doing that? Is that illegal?
Who knows?
But this is the red light district, so like, is it a lawless city?
I have answers for all this. Do you want the real answer?
I would love the real answer.
So prior to very, George is looking at a picture of.
We turned Olivia O'Brien into Justin.
Justin, I said, "What's your name, man?"
Justin.
There's no way that anybody believed that this woman,
yeah,
with these features,
yep, yeah,
yeah, what?
Was an actual woman. So
there's no way.
She pulled her hood up. She put a mask on. And yes, it was a quite feminine Justin. We eventually rolled it back to Justine. And we were comfortable calling her Justine at one point. But
they knew. The woman knew, bro.
Georgie, let me tell you, the woman found out in the window. So back to the situation. They open the doors, the windows. They're in front of windows and they talk to you. Hey, I like your show. Like, come here. And by the way, these aren't like your normal, nickel to dime process. These are good looking women, man. Like, these are real, real good looking girls.
I heard in different countries where it is legal, these girls look like supermodels.
They were very beautiful women. They weren't supermodels, but they were hot, all right? And so,
question. I'm sorry. How do you guys?
I'm having a hard time getting through this story because you're just repeating what I said. You just keep asking questions.
I'm asking you from an audience perspective. I know this. They're asking the same questions. How do you guys always stumble upon prostitutes? Look at every trip you guys take.
It's a good question.
Wait, hold on.
Nah, he's right.
Not for me.
Well, I think
I only stumble upon prostitutes when I'm with him.
Whoa.
Okay, so continue the story. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know there's some people watching this being like, these impulsive guys are running to prostitutes.
Well, yeah, we are in depth on the topic, but for his sake and the audience's sake, long story short, we go in this area and the girls do find out that Justin is actually Justine.
Got it.
And I'm like, because we're, by the way, kind of playing into it. Have you met our friend Justin? And they're like, that ain't no girl. That ain't no girl.
She goes, who are you? Who is this bitch?
Yes.
They're cussing at her.
Whoa, girl. Yeah, really?
They're mad. Bro, do you know what they do if they catch a girl on the street? They throw buckets of piss at them. Dude.
Urine.
They throw buckets of urine at the girls.
Germany. First of all, I want to know who assembles the bucket of piss.
They collect it.
Who's like, this morning,
day.
Guys, come on, just in case Justina comes back.
They collect it throughout the day. So there are no rules in this place. You don't use toilets.
So they can't call the cops, so they just take matters into their own bucket.
Yes.
That's right.
Nice. That was an old tactic when buckets were still used for urine. I don't think they're doing that anymore. But
oh, so they're not doing, they didn't throw piss at her?
No.
No,
they
no.
did call her a beach, and we then left. There was no, by the way, no prostitution was solicited on this trip. There was no closure. It was just exploring the area because it's something that needs to be explored.
I would definitely explore that. And also, I might get a lot of trouble for this, but I've always been curious growing up why prostitution wasn't legal everywhere. Why do they take the rights from women to do what they want with their body?
I have a lot of questions about legality on a lot of things. Yeah.
And by the way, like I don't like promote it, but I also don't like the fact that they remove things from people. I think if this is free.
Weed is the one right now that is boggling to me. The legality of weed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being from or having lived in California for 6-7 years, it became legal and it was so normal, right? For everyone to be smoking like wherever.
Yeah.
And pretty much everywhere else you travel, that's just not the case.
They look at it like a hard drug.
It's insane. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the world's just in, you know, different places.
At different times.
It's just different points of views, which is crazy to me.
Bro, it bothers me that, and as there's a lot of people are still locked up for a very long time for small amounts of weed.
In America,
possession of weed. Yeah,
it bothers me that they're locked up in states that are not legalized. To me, it's like,
That's horrible.
I don't understand. I might make a little play for that eventually. Like Kim K does... Right, she's the advocate,
the leader on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's been to the White House.
Which is she's been to the White House?
On that topic to try to get people out on crimes that are for crimes that
good
are
for her, bro. Good for her. I love Kim Kardashian, dude. The fact that she could just be sitting on the fact that she's just pretty and has a lot of money, but she's like actively using her brain to like make the world a better place is dope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think a lot of people sell her short cuz she does do it.
No, she's a fucking genius. And anybody who ever does not think that, they're just haters. Yeah, they're haters.
Fuck. Yeah.
So you guys, that was one area. So, yeah. I heard there was a lava or like a volcano.
This
like...
was in Iceland.
Okay. Let's talk about Iceland.
I have this thing where when I go on trips, especially now when I'm in this like kind of manic state, not kind of.
Wait, no, he's definitely in a manic state. Like it's hilarious like to watch it happen.
I don't sleep. I always want to just do stuff. If I cannot be still, I'm pacing every single, the moment I wake up and leave the bed, I'm walking in circles. And so I'm like, we're in Iceland, dude. And the one thing I haven't done yet is hiked a volcano. The only issue was it was 2 a.m. and it was raining. And our flight was the next morning at like 7.
So we're hold on. If it's raining, then the volcano shouldn't be able to, like, you can't see lava, yeah?
Rain will actually not cancel a volcanic explosion.
I'm pretty sure weather has to do with the, is it no or not? No?
What?
I thought that if, like, it rains a lot, it like presses it down for a little bit, and then it comes back up.
Mm. What do you, presses what?
Well, I'm not a volcano.
Lava? What do you think happens when rain hits 1,200 degree lava?
It's not even the heat. It's more the pressure.
That's a lot. Isn't that like, but water makes it snow? All right. Mm. I don't know anything about volcanoes. No one's going to make fun of me.
Who else knows about precipitation? You know about volcanoes? You're not that guy, pal. You'll never be that guy, bro.
Oh, you know what? I'm stupid. There is underwater volcanoes that are stronger than the ones that are on land. So I fucked up.
Just so you know, I would never make fun of you. I didn't think that was... I just thought it was a question. That was it. I think it's more of a pressure-based thing. I don't think your rainstorm is going to shut down.
It's not too much pressure. I didn't know that much.
Look, the rain did not cancel the volcanic eruption.
If it was in L.A., it would.
The volcanic eruption. That was funny. The volcanic eruption canceled it itself. It was dormant. It stopped.
It was dormant?
We knew it. It had stopped flowing. It had stopped flowing for 2 days. And we were like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. So, bro, we show up at this volcano. Long story short... Five of us ended up hiking a fucking volcano with...
Could you name the people so we could paint this picture?
With no lava. Yeah, it was Neil, our security guard, who's 7 foot, by the way. Actually 7 foot. 400 or something. Viking, our host in Iceland. Sorel Amor.
These names are fantastic.
A travel influencer who I found out was... a travel influencer after the hike.
And
I was wondering why. I was like... I know Danny's a badass because Danny was there and she was hiking with us, but this other girl, Sorel, like no one complained, which was, Kevin was there too. That's it. And me. And no one complained. I'm pretty hard. Like I can do a hike in the rain. No problem. But like, definitely wasn't easy. It was a little jaunt and no one complained, bro. Like I'm talking freezing cold weather, rain up a hill in the mud at 4-5 a.m. bro.
How was the pace? Were you guys going fast?
Pace was quick because that Viking dude, yo.
He was chalking?
Yo, watch this dude hike a mountain. Really? That's when you know he's from Iceland. Right, it was the first time I was like, oh, he's fucking Icelandic, bro.
How tall are these mountains, by the way?
Tall. We ended up hiking 4 miles.
Up?
I was very tired. Yeah, up, yeah. Not steep, you know, like a maybe like a 10 degree incline, okay, 15 okay, degree okay, incline.
Okay. Don't look at me at any point because I was...
Where were you?
We knew he couldn't come.
I was sleeping.
He was in the green light district.
Yeah. In the green light district. It's a little bit different than the red light district.
And bro, you know what the craziest part was? The reason Danny was there was because we flew her to Iceland with that life-size 6-foot Charizard costume that David Cho made me because we were going to carry it up the volcano and take a picture of it in front of the lava.
Genius.
Yeah, but the volcano wasn't erupting. It was fucking raining. And so
wait, you guys went up with this thing?
No, because it wasn't erupting. We were going to. Mm-hmm. And
so now you just wanted to go just to see it, even if it wasn't.
Yeah, that's
got
what
it.
I'm
okay,
saying.
Cool.
And I guess like a bookend this with saying like it was such a fucking fun experience, and like experiences like that you really carry with you for when you do the next thing where you're like, oh, this is kind of crazy. Like there's no service up here. It's like I like putting myself in uncomfortable scenarios, as you guys know, and I like doing a lot, so I'm prepared for literally anything. And so like I've said it before, life isn't short, you just got to do more, like push yourself to go find parts of yourself that you wouldn't unless you're in a very specific circumstance. The more you know yourself, I think the better person you can be in this world. And I try to, you know, discover myself through and through in like experiences like this, and especially traveling.
When you dig deep, things happen.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. It's Blue Chew today. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredients and strength for your prescription. So if you can benefit from the extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. Here's a special detail.
It says deal, and I'll say it. We got a special deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code Logan at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Logan to receive your first month free. Thank you and Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you. Thank you.
Reading is hard.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah, even when you don't dig that, like it wasn't like we're dying, but it wasn't like an easy
hike. I didn't hear any of this side of the story, but Olivia was like, yo, the security guard was like, this was top 5.
I came out the next morning. I go up to Neil. And by the way, like the part that he's leaving out is hike ended at 5:30. They all come back soaking wet to the hotel. Flights at 7. Like go to the airport, get your shit, pack your bags in the 5 seconds you get back to the hotel and go to the airport. So while that's normal for us at the pace that we've been running these trips, sometimes what you're asking of these like security protocol, like these security teams, I go up to Neil. He's standing out in the pouring rain still, loading our 800-pound bags into the car after this 6-hour hike march that like, yes, it was exciting for some of the people involved, but like, let me tell you, for the people that didn't want to be there, probably wasn't. I go, dude, everybody's so, you know, I'm waking up after 10 hours of sleeping. I go, seems like you guys had a great time. Like, everybody's pretty pumped up. He goes, don't let any of them lie to you. Top 5 worst experiences in my life. Top 5. He goes, they're going to come up to you and they're going to tell you that it was one of the best things they've ever done. It was fucking awful. It was fucking awful, mate. And I'm so jealous that you didn't go. I go, but you saw the lava. He goes, it was this big.
We saw no lava.
He goes, it was this fucking big, mate. He goes, we hiked up a pitch black, sopping wet mountain. I was in my fucking jeans, mate. I've never been so wet in my life. Top 5 worst experiences of my life. Sideways
rain. And he slipped too. He slipped too.
And busted. He goes, I busted my damn knee. And this is like,
why did you need to bring him? Are you
No. That's the thing. Yeah.
Lava?
Beforehand, I said, Neil, just so you know, this is going to be a little, like, you know, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have to come, obviously.
Oh, so you gave him that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. He said, he goes, mate, I'll live for this shit. And by the way, I didn't know that because he never told me that and didn't complain one fucking time.
I love Neil, dude.
Dude, he's the best.
He's the best in the world.
If you ever need somebody to protect you, hands down, the best fucking guy ever.
If you ever see anyone important doing anything significant in the UK, Neil is next to
him. He's there. He's the big guy next to Anthony Josh, whoever, right?
He's the sharpest
individual. You can't get
Uzi,
him.
Josh, yeah, he's a shit.
And just another note on the him not telling you part. I actually wasn't supposed to tell anybody. I was supposed to say that. He was like, mate, don't tell him I said this. No, but he's not going to care. But he did. He offered up because here's why. When you're in Iceland and you get that kind of opportunity, this is how he explained it to me. He's like, they gave me an out, mate, and I didn't take it because
it's opportunity.
I'm in Iceland. It's an opportunity. And did you, were there moments on the hike where you felt like you wanted to give up at all or
no? Me, for, no.
You,
no,
but I'm sure Danny, no, none of you guys. Okay.
Same. I knew that. I knew there was no lava. I just wanted to hike a fucking mountain while like vibing in Iceland.
Those are the ones that challenge me more than anything are the ones that don't have the crazy payoff. Yeah. Like, yo, if we make it to the top of this mountain, we get to see the coolest volcanic eruption. Like, you're going up that mountain knowing that when you get to the top, you're going to be let down.
There was a point where it was like, are we just walking around aimlessly? And if we are, like, I'm still having fun.
Got it. Okay.
No, that's where it did get hard. I noticed I definitely hit a wall, which, you know, I'd been up for fucking 2 days straight, and like I was like, okay, I'm dying.
Damn, 2 days up and then hiking.
I have two stories that are kind of good.
Oh, by the way, I really love the direction of this podcast so far. These stories are so cool.
Good, and if you have any, also please share, Georgie. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Are we done with Europe?
Is there anything else?
I mean, we did the red light district, so now it seems like a strip club story would be a little odd.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
I have a strip club story.
Okay.
Do you have one?
All that happened to me was, so in between Hamburg and Iceland, we did go to Berlin. We didn't get to experience it. One thing I do understand about this wild city, the capital, is it the capital of Germany? Oh, fuck.
Berlin?
I don't know.
It's a city in Germany.
A big city in Germany. They have these ultra clubs that go on all night for like 3 days straight. I go to this one strip club because I didn't go to the ultra clubs, and it's this place called Golden Dolls. I'm going to give them a free shout out if that's okay, or we can bleep it.
Sure.
And I walk in. And I immediately see all these really good looking strippers. And the first girl, the closest of proximity, turns to me and goes, I can't believe you're here. No, that's not the right accent.
Dude, you do the same accent.
I can't believe you're here. I watch all of your podcasts. I can't believe it. I see all your shows. I watch the night. Now it's done. But she was a fan, bro. And it was
said this to him as she was upside down sliding on the pole right before the strippers do their famous thunder clap with their heels. They go, and they clap their heels together like a mating call.
But it was the first time I ever ended up in a scenario like that where it was like a stripper that was a fan. And it changed the dynamic incredibly.
Mm.
And not in a good way.
Yeah, of course.
It was weird, bro. So she told the boss of the place, and he goes, you know, doors are open. What? Whatever you need.
Why is everybody you meet angry?
You're all German. Shout when you talk, bro.
Whatever you need. So he
did she give you her real name?
No. So he just started. He put us at the table, started bringing shit out. He's like, any dances you want are on the house. Anything you want, it's on the house. Okay, we're big fans. Blah blah, so on and so forth.
Hilarious.
So. I don't know if I told you this, but I go downstairs and for a dance, just because it's customary, like it's like, go get a fucking dance or at this club, whatever. So I'm getting this dance.
I love the buildup to like, make it seem okay. We're here.
It's customary.
It's customary. I don't want to be disrespectful. You said it's free. So I got five of them on me. I didn't want to be rude. So I got all the girls back in my corner.
No. So I bring the fan one down there and she goes, you know, I've been following you and you know, I was a huge fan of your ex-girlfriend as well, and she was so pretty. And she started dancing, and it threw the dynamic off because she told me that she didn't feel pretty enough because of who my ex was.
Oh, my God. Leave that shit at home. We're all working here.
I immediately was like, yeah, this is over. Like, let's just go back upstairs. And it was so awkward.
Sad.
It was bad. I was like, yo,
This poor girl. Ugh. Oh, that's sad, bro. I would have done this. I would have called that off.
It was weird. I did.
That affect me. That affect me.
What's your strip club, sorry?
I thought you were going to say, what's my stripper name? Which, by the way, I think we should do really quick.
Okay.
Middle name, street you grew up on.
Woodridge.
What?
My street
Edward Woodridge.
What's Edward Woodridge?
Isn't your middle name Edward?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel Woodridge.
What's your
middle name?
Emmanuel Woodridge. Now coming to the stage, Emmanuel Woodridge. I threw my thunderclap.
Is that? I don't know why, but that's kind of a hot name.
Yeah, you're
kind of
hot.
Emmanuel Woodridge.
Yeah, you're kind of hot.
The wood has rage. So what's your guys'? Don't leave me here.
The fuck
I don't even want to do this. They made me say shit, and then they just sat there quietly.
Loren Sawmill.
That sounds right.
Loren Sawmill?
Yeah, my mom.
Loren?
Loren. She was a big fan of Ralph Lauren.
Your middle name is Loren?
Loren? I'm not calling you Mike anymore.
Loren? It's Loren.
Loren. Loren.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah,
it's
what
French.
You, yeah, whatever you say, Jeff.
Oh, shit.
It's my middle name, too.
You're a girl.
Yeah, but it's fun.
It's fine. It's 2021. You could be Loren.
She said, yeah, it's fun.
That's fire.
What's yours?
Alexander Bradley.
Oh, that's
good. Cooler than your real name.
That's good.
Alexander Bradley? Dude, that would have been my name. I would have changed that shit to that.
Just yesterday, I was in Oregon, visiting Oregon. And I ended up at a strip club in the middle of fucking Oregon. You guys know where that place is? Of course you don't.
Isn't it a big, relatively big city?
It's actually incredible. Right, yeah, right. We had probably one of the most fun 24 hours of my life.
And I wasn't there, by the way, and I didn't drag you to this
fucking strip club.
Because
it was supposed to be a quick jaunt, and you know, we had heard that there was we wanted drinks at like 11 p.m. and nowhere was open except the strip club. So we walked to the strip club. Yep, walked down the street. It's Oregon. And we go in there, and everything's all good. I had some cash on me, so I withdrew $3,000 in singles, right? And just and started just handing them to the patrons. And I'm just like, here, like throw this money, like let's like these girls gonna work tonight, and we gonna make sure they get paid,
right?
You know?
Right.
Like, it was fun. It was the first. And mind you, you know how I feel about strip clubs. I fucking hate.
You don't like
them. I get uncomfortable. Yeah, I can't be there. Whatever. But I was having fun. We're in Oregon doing whatever, and so I have this brick of cash under my arm. I'm in this Oregon strip club. And like, I don't know how to say this without coming off pretentious, but when I often find when I go to like middle America or flyover states, sometimes the like etiquette for filming me is a bit less, I think, appropriate than usual. I.e., I'm sitting at a strip club with a fucking brick of cash under my arm and some dude comes and puts his camera in my face.
Nah.
At an Oregon strip club.
Right.
Fam, I have a broken hand. I'm at a strip club in Oregon. Like, I'll talk about it, but fucking, I don't want y'all to see that. Like, get this shit, get your fucking phone out of my face. One good hand, the classic. Sink, snatches phone. I have it now. I have the video. He's like, bro, give me my phone. I go, bro, you just took a fucking video of me in my face at a strip club. Dude, I think that's weird. He goes, bro, give me my phone. So I go in, I delete it. Thank God his phone was unlocked, so I go to recently delete it. And mind you, the dynamic of this is weird because, like, I have one hand that I'm currently using to delete the video on his phone. I'm defenseless, right? And so I don't know if this guy, Kevin's standing right there, and we don't really we don't have a crew. We don't have, like, people. She's like, bro, give me my phone. I go, fam. And now I set the brick down because I'm like, now I'm getting angry. This guy needs to shut the fuck up and get out of my face. and so I set the brick down. And I sense that, like, thing coming. I go, bro, you just took a video of a stranger in a strip club. Do you not think that's weird? He goes, no, it's cool, man. I go, you just took a video of a strip club, of a stranger in a strip club. Do you not think that's weird? He goes, no, bro, I swear it's cool. I go, no, I'm telling you it's not cool. I'm telling you right fucking now it's not cool. He goes, no, please, just. I go, bro, admit to me right now that it's weird to take a video of a stranger in a strip club. He goes, well.
Now they mention it, mate.
He goes, no, seriously. He had a moment of like to him, it like he just discovered the cure to cancer. He was like,
gravity.
Yeah, I guess it is a little weird. I guess that is a little weird. I go, yeah, it fucking is. Now take this stack, go throw it at the strippers and get a shot.
Let's
with
go.
Me.
Nice. That's so, how you handle
so
it.
So we took a shot, we threw the money, and it was great. But like, I guess I was just so stunned. Like, I don't know if he was in shock that I was like pressing him a little bit, and maybe he just kind of panicked. But like,
yeah, yeah.
So that's why I say that it's uncommon. I don't know. Like, a person with like a following in Bend, Oregon, at a strip club is probably not too common. And I'm assuming that's where.
Can you tell me what he? My favorite is knowing what they say when the phone's in your phone. Because my guess is, can I take a stab at
sure.
it? yo, it's Logan Paul.
No, nothing, nothing. He wasn't like a, no, he wasn't. There was nothing. It was just like that. And I go, he goes, whoa, what the fuck? I go, bro, you just took a fucking video of me? Yeah. Right now? You think that's weird?
Come on, mate. Give me my phone back.
No, this was in Oregon.
Yeah, but they're all British. If you ask me, any reaction is British, dude.
And I said, yeah, it was cool.
We went to a dick museum in Iceland.
I can't believe it. Dude, it was the first time in my life I was like, dude, I'm not the only person who thinks penises are fascinating. There's an entire museum dedicated to cock in Iceland, in Reykjavik.
They tried to spice it up by calling it the Reykjavik Phallological Museum.
Yeah, they try to make it like scientific.
It's a dick. It's the dick museum. It's a museum of cocks.
You go there to look at penis. There's no other way around it.
So it's just like different styles?
No.
Everything.
It's different species. From what I understand.
So that literally would be different strokes for different folks.
I love that.
Dude,
for us.
There are wieners in jars like pickles, like floating in some sort of like formaldehyde or something that preserves the integrity of the cock.
Do they say whose it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
But it's like elephants or some interplanetary dicks.
Oh, dude, I'm fucked up. I literally thought it was only humans.
Were there any human cocks in there?
There's a couple.
I know, but in my mind, I just pictured a bunch of human dicks.
That's a weird thing to picture.
There are a few.
I need somebody to pull that out of context, what George just said, and post it on Twitter, please. In my mind, I pictured a bunch of human dicks.
Oh my God, fucking stupid.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
Okay, we gotta get out of the dick.
So if you were trying to look for a dick there, it would be literally, I'm trying. Never mind. These jokes are not gonna fly.
What about the topic we were popping off about pre-show? It's
sensitive.
Yeah,
it's a little sad. Yeah. I don't think there's anywhere else thinking about it.
What have you been up to, Georgie? We haven't seen you.
Just practicing the craft. Yep. I actually do have a funny story. Go ahead. I went to Vegas to open up for Joe Coy.
Amazing.
And I, you know, like still like it's, we're kind of like on this basis where I don't ask, you know, but if you say, let's do it, I'm there. I'm trying to hone in these skills and craft. I get there and he's like, yo, you're not performing tonight. And I was like, oh no, I thought I did something wrong. But it was because they had a special guest, Tiffany Haddish, and she came, bro, and blew the fucking house off. Right? So I'm like, oh shit, like this is great. And then I'm like, but tomorrow, so I went to dinner with them, by the way, right? So I'm still in the like the phase of like, you know, like, hey, I'm still here, like I'm gonna be here. Yeah. And making them laugh. And then yesterday, the next day we go on the Razor things, bro. And I just got introduced to the gentleman who runs the Laugh Factory. And if you guys don't know what that is like, dude, if you're trying to be a comedian, like that is, everybody started there. He's in my Razor. Me and Batch are racing, and I'm like head to head. I'm doing the one thing my dad told me, don't fucking do when you're in this shit. Don't be right here because you can't see the ground, and if you hit a rock, you'll flip. Hard cut, we flip. Pop! And I'm with the dude, and I'm like, oh my God. So we're over. I'm like, it can't get worse. Then the gas thing pops, and just the whole gasoline is being poured on this man. I was like, there goes my career. I'm never doing stand-up ever again.
Yeah, you incinerated the guy with the keys to your future.
Yes.
You incinerated Mr. Miyagi. You're Mr. Miyagi.
Bro, so I was like, this can't fucking get worse than this.
Oh, it can. Someone threw a match.
It can definitely get worse, brother. It could get worse.
Short story, Batch and Joe have to come back to get us because we can't lift this shit. So now I'm embarrassed. They're laughing, they're recording and making fun of me. And I'm like, ah, yeah, I'm so stupid. Like, just like, there's nothing I could do here. Then in the midst of them making fun of me, they're all laughing. They're like, dude, come and perform tonight at the Wynn. And I'm like, bet.
Oh, in Vegas?
Yes, yeah, my first theater event.
Yeah.
There's over 1,000 people. And I'm confident, bro, because every time I performed so far, I've been really impressing a lot of big people. Like, I'm not going to name drop, but a lot of people have reached out and they're like, yo, I want you to perform at my show. I want you to do this. So I'm very excited. And I think I'm about to fuck this day up, bro. Like, I'm about to kill it, right? I have my jokes. I know what I'm doing. I have the energy. I get on. Nobody. And by the way, I made it very clear that this is my first theater performance. I'm excited. I'm backstage. It's my first theater. So my first joke, I have this thing where I grab my phone and dude, every time I do this joke, it crushes, brings the house down. And that's what I open up with to let people know like I'm funny and I go in. Nobody tells me, Mike, that the theater is designed so you can't hear the audience.
What? Oh, that's horrible.
Bro, bop, tell my joke.
They're like muffled.
Bro, It like blew a shotgun through my chest.
How did it feel? Did you feel like anxiety? Like just,
I swear to God, Mike, I was so frozen up in that moment that I wanted to just put my mic back and just walk off stage. Like, so I'm like, oh my God. And mind you, bro, we have the biggest comics watching me right now backstage. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, this is it. Again, my career's done. But then something I dug deep. I was like, yo, if I'm gonna bomb for the first time, I'm just gonna just do
keep
it.
Keep going, yeah.
So I perform this shit as if I'm killing it, dude. Thank God. So I come off stage and they're like, yo, you did great. And I thought they're making fun of me. And I was like, fuck you guys. And I was like, no one laughed. They're like, what are you talking about? And Reed hands me my phone and I could hear people laughing.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, thank God. So if it really wasn't for me being like, fuck it, I'm just gonna just drown in this, then I would have fucked up my whole like life in this situation.
I think that's a lesson. I'm sure you can kind of repeat it as well. It's like, you need to get comfortable in your life. If you're watching this and you're putting crafts out there or you're in any kind of space, you need to get comfortable in life delivering what you believe to be your best work and then being semi-agnostic to what the initial reaction to it is.
I've mastered it.
You're amazing
at it. I'm the best at it. Yeah. I work on a project for 2.5-3 years. I've done it twice. At the completion of the project, after literally tens of thousands of hours of working on something that is so near and dear to me and has become a part of my life, twice now I've gone, I hate that. I hate it. I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
And walking away without...
Walking away.
Got it.
It happened to me with music. Bro, right. I really, really, really tried to make good music.
A lot of time. A lot of production, traveling to...
Everything.
You made a recording studio in your house. In your
recording
house,
studio in my house. Hundreds of hours writing and recording music. Vocal lessons every single day. No, sorry. Twice a week for every single week for 2 years.
I was there when you were like, you know what, this isn't it. You were showing me a song and you were literally like, I'm done with this. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, because I realized it's just like, it's not me. For some reason, I just don't tick in that. But being agnostic to your work and unbiased to what you've created, I think could help so many.
You have to put good people around you, to be honest.
So many people. Exactly. I run, as you guys know, all my creation
by every one of you.
Because
we do the same. I think we kind of all learned how to do that.
We did it last night. I wrote a joke.
I've been working on this joke for a good few weeks, and I pitched it to Logan. Logan's like, yeah, I liked like maybe 6% of that. He's like, get rid of it. I was like, sick. Okay, move on. So the stand-up thing is really cool. I'm in a great place. This is a guy named Enrique who's running the Laugh Factory. He's introduced me to everybody in the industry, and I'm talking about people I look up to. And they're just sitting down one-on-one, and I'm just asking them questions, and they're just giving it to me. So I'm on this fast track to learn. I'm getting offered to do really big shows right now, and I'm respectfully declining just because I really want to master this craft. One, I know people are going to look harder on me because I came from the social media
world. They will, yeah.
And two, I don't want to disrespect any comics because they had a really... Dude, to be a comic and to be a successful comic, they had to be shitted on and worked and beat to just get one thing that I'm basically getting for free.
Yeah.
So as respect to the community, I'm like, I'll reject offers and I'm sitting here working on the craft and I'm going to be there when I'm ready.
Your head's in the perfect spot.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic.
I appreciate
that. It's sort of taking a page from... Thor's book in Iceland. I don't know if you saw the podcast. You definitely didn't see the podcast. You don't watch shit.
No, unless I'm on it, I don't watch.
Yeah, I know. But I commended him for his ability to like dedicate himself to a craft and then come out as the best. Like I think you should for like 2 to 3 years, dude. Not underground, but don't go crazy, bro. Like master that skill before the world sees you for the first time. I think that's really strong.
I admit it to everybody and to the people that I look up to. I say I'm gonna be the greatest comedian in the world. And I go, not yet. Maybe it's going to take me forever, but I will become one of the greatest comedians in the world.
Manifestation. I love it.
I have to be. This is like, dude, when I was on stage and I realized this is my baby, I was like, fuck. Like, I will give up everything for this. Like, literally everything.
Even an impulsive podcast?
Everything.
So at the beginning of this one, I did go to Twitter. We were looking for some topical shit. I got a few here. You want to try to rapid fire some of this?
Sure.
You met Drake.
Oh my God!
How did you not talk
about that? Oh my God! What?
How did you not talk about that?
What the fuck? Yeah.
What the fuck?
You're welcome.
Oh my God! I did. What the fuck? But I had met him before, which is why
it wasn't as like driving for you.
No.
Like,
it was driving. Drake.
Right after CLB drops.
Yeah, it's like peak Drake, dude. I got a photo with peak Drake.
Yep.
When Drake's peaking.
Yep.
Drake's like so goated that like just. I went to his house and he wasn't even there. People were congratulating me. Bro, like, what the fuck? Bro, like, just to meet him anywhere. And okay, so I heard the story, but yeah, this is pretty cool.
I actually don't want to tell the story.
Yeah, don't tell. It's not that cool.
It's I'm going to save it for...
Thoughts on the tattoo for Woodley.
Oh my God, bro.
I'm just going to keep this.
Tyron Woodley got the I Love Jake Paul tattoo. I actually can't fucking believe it, bro.
I can't. I know why, because of his placement.
Obviously, it's weird. He put I and then Love in a 45-degree angle, and then Jake Paul in actually, like, cool font. Like, if he was going to do it, I think... I think he did it right, because it's also the way he structured it and intentionally. He's going to cover it up with some shit, whether it's...
It's the easiest removal place.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay. It seems like... Is he doing it because he wants a rematch, yeah?
No, yeah, he just did it because he loves Jake.
He really loves
fucking
Jake.
Idiot. He lost a fight. He was sitting at home one day. He's like, you know what? I fucking love Jake.
Well, I didn't know if he did it because he was trying to keep his word. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
Well, his word was that the loser gets the tattoo. Like, that's the bet's over. Rematch or not. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, you know, if I were Jake.
No,
I don't
he
know.
Wanted the rematch. That's why he posted it with him saying, if I get it, what'd you do? He goes, bet.
Yeah, but that's the second part of a deal that was already done. That's my issue with it. You can't make a second bet as like a... Because the first bet was whoever loses gets an I Love blank tattoo. That's the bet.
Yeah.
That's what was fulfilled.
You're right.
And then
so
Tyron tried to... Tyron tried to be like, well, now I'll get a rematch too? Nah, bitch. You fucking lost the bet and you actually got a fucking tattoo. A grown-ass man has a tattoo on his finger.
Hey, I'm...
That says, I Love Jake Paul. Who... Bro.
Hey, I think a lot of people are... I think a lot of people are here for that rematch. Including Dave Chappelle.
I'm very here for that.
Literally. And by the way, listen, Jake's doing everything right. Everything he's doing is business first and career first. Never been as confident in the fucking kid as I am right now. Doesn't need any advice, doesn't need any help. Like, he is trucking and crushing it, and it's amazing to watch. But I think more people than he might think are here for that. I think that rematch gets a lot of buys, and I would certainly watch it. Diaz in the octagon.
Nick Diaz,
yeah,
returned to the octagon to fight Robbie Lawler. I think for the third second time in 17 years.
I think it was 26 years.
No.
No, he hasn't. Nick Diaz has not fought in over 26 years.
That is, fuck you.
No, that's facts.
Nah, it was really entertaining. Like, I do have to give props to Nick Diaz, because taking that kind of time off and, like, God knows what he's doing to his body. Because if it were me, I'd probably be drinking and smoking, hanging out with my friends, kicking my feet up, playing some video games.
Good.
He came out with that Stockton energy, bro. Yeah. Like,
bro, the roundhouse.
He tried to pull the Masvidal right off the
rip. Bro, that was the funniest thing. I was like, what the fuck?
That card was great, dude. Shevchenko doing her little spins after she wins. She's a Russian killer. She's a beast. Congratulations to her. She's like, her and Nunez are the ones to beat right now. And then, Brian Ortega.
The greatest.
And Alexander Volkanovski.
Yeah, one of the greatest.
One of the greatest fights I've ever seen. Dark.
I can't believe how many times we jumped up out of our seats. Like, we were literally like, I felt like I was ringside. That was the craziest fight I've ever seen in my life.
The one round where Volkanovski slipped out of two, like, fight-ending submissions. Tight. Cinched. Brian, in his post-fight interview, said he heard him gargling. He goes, the little bastard's tough. He slipped. I heard him gargling and shit. Dude, he's such a good fighter and, like, entertainer in general, I think, because, like, he really has given his heart, soul, and life to his craft. Like, you see how he ended the fight, bro? He gave it his all, dude. Like, that was a fight with two warriors, and Volkanovski's, like, one of the best in class right now, and I knew this was going to be a hard fight for Brian, because he's just... He's like a little fucking invincible little spark plug from Australia, mind you.
Australia. Probably should have hit Tommy Fury when we were back on the topic, but obviously there's a lot going on there. Didn't pay his bar tab.
I actually don't think there is.
Maybe not.
I think Tommy Fury is a little bit of
I'd say go ahead and just say it.
A little bit of a dunce, if you will. It's kind of like a fucking dweeb.
That whole situation.
A dweeb in like a hot guy's body.
That whole situation was weird to me. Like, Jake,
he's so good looking.
He's crazy.
I met him at the airport, and I went up to like say hi to him, and he looked at me like I had beef with him, and I was like, bro, I don't
know.
Wait, where'd you see him?
At the airport. Back the day that he fought.
He's breathtaking. Did his eyes freeze you where you were?
I had my girlfriend wait at the gate. I was like, go over there.
Yeah, of course.
Go over there.
But that whole situation seems a little odd to me. Like, once again, Jake being on top of his shit and saying everything that was right to say. Dog, the offer is the offer because of Jake. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does his offer look like without a Jake deal?
No, it's your life's over, bro. Like,
He did.
It's all a game. It's a little bit of a back and forth and ebb and flow. The issue is, dude, like, similar to Dennis, like, Tommy, and I'm Jake's brother, and he means this, like, you're going to get left in the dust. This is your moment. Take it. He's gone. You're like, this is it. You're only going to get to fight Jake Paul once. Because who knows even how long he wants to be doing this, bro. Does he want another one fight, two fights, three fights? Is he going to take a break? Like,
and it's a big moment for him. I mean, dude, like, think about it. If in some crazy world he was able to fucking pull, he's got a catapult for the rest of it. Like,
he can make his money with brands and all that stuff. He's just, this is where people that have greed in their heart will lose.
Yeah.
If you think about money first, like, dude, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got a,
You know what it is? To me, it's like, yo, if he's getting that cash, that's minimal. Maybe in his mind, he's like, yo, I don't want to get my ass beat for a little paycheck. Think about that.
What but
you
that's mean, a big one.
What you mean minimal, bro? Yeah, he got a million plus.
Yeah, a million bucks.
He's never even made close to it. He didn't pay his fucking bar tab, dude. Like, this guy.
On that topic, I do got to jump in for one sec. And by the way, maybe that's true, but we've probably had nights where we're like, shit, dude, I can't go talk to the fucking lady.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, bro.
You pay it the next day.
Let me tell you something. I'm sure it got paid, but like, then. Why wasn't it reflected in the article? That's something.
If you
have a PR team, update or whatever they do, amendment, edit. Tommy Fury paid bar tab next. He doesn't have a PR team. Doesn't anything. He's just a good looking guy who's the younger brother of the greatest heavyweight ever. Huh? Fury? Oh, Joshua. Joshua.
Oh, yeah, Joshua.
Anthony,
dude.
Joshua.
That's huge, man.
That is.
Now box,
I can't believe that. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. You knew it?
I knew that it was going to be a good fight. And Joshua's just also a technical boxer. He's not a killer, man. Like, lost to Ruiz.
The fight game's exciting right now, dude. The fight game is spicy. The other day, bro, I went from boxing to MMA to some drama offline. I was like, this is fantastic.
Oh, let's do that because we just did boxing and MMA. Let's do the drama. You got a girlfriend?
Me, no.
Because I've been seeing, there's been some shit heating up. I don't have to get into it, but it's been a little bit of chirping back and forth. I'm sure what's this, Crack Axe? You know, the group chat, the Maverick group chat?
Mm.
Sure, they're talking about it. You got any, you know anything about any of that shit?
Just sounds like something I have no interest in.
Crypto, NFTs. I mean, there's a lot.
Stop.
Yep.
I'm so bullish on NFTs. Stupid bullish. Especially now. Like, I've literally devoted my life to this shit. Like, literally 100%. Because, like, the more I got into the space, the more I realized the practical application of NFTs will make this like a mainstay in culture. Everyone has an idea of what NFTs are, but I think when it really sinks in exactly what it is, the hold that it will have in your everyday life will be undeniable, and no one's going to be able to ignore it.
I agree,
a couple projects that I pointed out, you know, 4 months ago, actually, I'm gonna be honest, all of them are taking off. Especially, bro, talked about it before, World of Women, man. Wow. It's like, it's so cool to see the tide changing in a way, and people now kind of seeing the significant projects and like, dude, I have to feel proud when I was right about like a pick. It lets me know my head is in the right space. I do kind of understand the space a little bit. But I just want to hit on NFTs real quick, just again, because I believe they'll be a part of everyone's life eventually. But for those of you who maybe don't know what they are, I'm gonna say it in a different way. Download this. NFTs are nothing more than verification, verifiable ownership. So like, you own your house, right, George?
Yep.
Why?
Because I need a place to live.
No, why do you own a house? Why do you own your house? And why do we all acknowledge that you own that house? Why do we all acknowledge that I own 84 acres?
Better investment strategy than renting. for some people. Some people want to feel the ownership. For me personally, it's a business move.
People, humans want to own things.
Well, that we've talked about that in the past.
I'm saying why. You have the answer is you have a deed. There's something that says you own this house. We all acknowledge that to be true. That exists in the physical world, whether it's a receipt, a deed, a certification, whatever. Up until NFTs on the blockchain, verification of digital assets wasn't really commonplace, right? Like, it's nothing more than being able to say, like, hey, I own this, and for that reason alone. And I think if you start looking at it through that lens, not like a, oh, here's an 8-bit cartoon called a CryptoPunk, because these are collectibles and it's cool and it's where the space is at now. But just like any other industry, like, there's evolution that's going to take place. It's going to evolve, and the word I'll use is it's going to mature. And eventually, these collectibles, these cartoons, these NFTs that, you know, most people think are like the Pudgy Pang of the Bored Apes, they're cool, and they were the catalyst and the first thing to like launch and make the space mainstream. But eventually, it will mature. I believe next up is generative art. Art created by code or algorithm.
Well, and that's what we have. That's what we have now.
It's already happening. So, like, yeah, Fidenza's and some other ones that are like big. And to be honest, I actually don't know much about generative art. I'm still kind of stuck in.
I thought the apes were not generative
art.
I thought they put characteristics.
Yeah, I thought a lot.
There are characteristics, but an artist made them, and each one, they're all individually crafted. I don't know, but that's not what I'm talking about with generative art.
Some of those projects that are like own one. I don't know if own one is, but a lot. Some of those they program a code and they generatively create pieces.
It's not what I mean.
Got it, truthfully.
I'd like to do more research on this before I speak on it. Generative art created by code and algorithm solely. I think is next, and then one of one art, I believe, will be the final evolution and maturity, like real art, like, you know what I'm saying, like
individualized pieces,
one of one artists taking time to create this thing that will have everlasting, eterning value in the digital space, and it's just a maturity that the space has to go through.
It makes it safer to keep that item too. Like, say for example, if it's on the internet and like you have paintings in your house that are electronic, if your house burns down, you're not going to lose your assets.
Let me tell you something. I was in Orlando, and I was in this hotel, and I'm walking by, really nice hotel, bro, beautiful art on the wall. Big pieces. Like, even Kevin took a picture of it, and I took a picture of this one piece, and we were like, yo, did you see that? It's cool. And I had this thought. I was like, why do I have to be in fucking Orlando, Florida to be able to enjoy and admire this art? And in the digital world with NFTs, if digital displays become mainstay and everyone has them in their household, you can put your art anywhere in the world on any display like this. And I don't have to be in this random hotel in Orlando to enjoy a piece of work that someone spent a lot of time on. The ubiquitous nature of NFTs, among many things, is also very exciting for me. I could talk about this forever. Did I answer that Twitter question?
Yeah, you did. And by the way, just quickly to touch on, I think where you started was actually higher level than where you ended.
Yeah,
which was I think where the true future of it is. Bridging the gap between what currently exists, watermarks to claim your art online, to a true way of, oh, do you know what I'm saying? So I think the big win ends up being commercial ownership programming. So it's like Getty Images, your watermark is useless, bro. Like, somebody's gonna crop that out, and by the way, like, even if they don't, like, who really traces back that ownership? I think commercial ownership is a problem. Like, commercial digital ownership will be a problem solved by NFTs.
For things that are in demand. That's the only asterisk I'd add to that. Because, like,
maybe. But, like, but even, like, as far as memes are concerned. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you produce a meme. No, and a meme that ends up getting 700 billion impressions. Side-eyed, the girl standing in front of the burning building. Imagine being able to say, yo, that's mine. I created that, and there's a blockchain receipt that points to it.
So, yeah, but you're still operating in collectible land. That's what I'm saying. That's, like, the most basic.
Well, hold on a sec. That's to say, that the importance of a one-in-one designed piece of artwork has more importance than the most valuable meme on the internet.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And I think there's a lot of people that argue that. I'm not one of them.
But
I think
2021, your meme in 2021 in 10 years will be the dumbest fucking thing.
Charlie bit my finger.
It's cute, dude.
But
does that mean anything to you?
But
it
has. And by the way, I'm arguing a non-bias side. I don't have a side.
Yeah,
there,
no,
but I think.
Yeah.
But I think there are people out there who would argue that culturally. For example, right now, the biggest thing would be imagine owning an ape or an alien, right? There are people out there that are like, yo, if you can give me ownership of Charlie bit my finger, or
I'm saying
far outweighs.
I'm saying no, because the demand for that video is so much less than a zombie.
Right now, but it's stood the test of time. Like if you ask anybody, like, what is the video from YouTube history? You know what I'm saying?
I probably would have said the same thing.
A lot of people would say that.
But who cares?
But in five years, you may ask, you know, what is the collectible CryptoPunk? And
it's a zombie. Or that's why there's a group of people who all think the same thing and value the same.
But
election.
It's a silo comparatively to the massive audience of YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a tiny little silo. So how do you provide true value? Is it that tiny silo?
No,
I'm
telling you, this is it. There just needs to be demand. My assumption is this, and I could be wrong.
Somebody did buy. Yes. They've been buying those memes as NFTs.
And
at what value?
I think they'll turn out to be a bad purchase.
Got it.
It's my guess.
Got it. Is our next guest here? By the way,
no, he's running a little late.
He is. Okay.
What else is there? There's
plenty of stuff. Sorry, I was.
He is here.
And by the way, if you're watching this episode of Impulsive, do you have thoughts on this topical discussion that we just had? I know there's it's a lot of fun. Should we middle show it, beginning of show it on these boys only episodes? Run through a bunch of topics, rapid fire. How do you guys feel about it? Let us know in the comments.
Do you have anything else?
I mean, if he's here, I mean, I don't have anything substantial.
All right, fuck it. That's it, guys. That's all we got. Hit that subscribe button. Thank you for listening to Impulse, the number one podcast in the world. We're going to keep attempting to find random locations in the world to shoot these episodes.
Trying is lying. We're going to.
Yeah. It's important to us while we get the studio set up in Puerto Rico. Till then, appreciate you. Love you. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.